Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I talk about the evolution of consciousness, where we're going as a more spiritual race of human beings, how we are heading into the future with more awareness. That means the higher dimensions, those other levels of consciousness, as well as an awareness of what it is to be embodied in our embodiment and how to activate more of that potential. So tonight's guest is very much dedicated to that unveiling of the human potential. Her name is Juanita Calderon, and she is the founder of Daughters of Gaia Ma, which is a ritualistic shamanic ceremonial group located in Florida. And she is here tonight to talk about a special tradition that she comes from, which is from her ancestors, which talked about the divine, the sacred nature of the womb that the place we have all emerged from in this physical third dimensional reality, and the secrets that lie there, and the ways women, I think, particularly can reconnect with that to have more of a fulfilling life around, and then also give that to men. So welcome, Juanita. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Alan, for having me. I'm very excited. Thank you.
Good. Well, there's so much you have to share, and you just did a ceremony in New York a couple of weeks ago, and people were very inspired. Why don't you give like a little background? Just, you know, you were brought up in Colombia, South America, and you found these books that your grandmother wrote that she didn't show to anybody, but you knew there was something special about these secret diaries that somehow fell into your hands, and
that she left. Yeah. Let me tell you a little bit about that. Yes. Well, I grew up in Colombia, and with my grandmother, we always did special ceremonies, and we were very connected to her. But we never knew that she channeled. She never spoke about this other side of her that she had. Then, when she passed away, she left some diaries for us to find, because if not, she would have hidden. And she wrote that they were for the female side of our family. So they were passed on, and when they got to me, which I've only read the first one, I found it very interesting, because it's all of her experiences since she was 13 years old. And it's her own evolution. And there is a lot of very, very sacred information about the womb. She starts channeling Mother Mary and Jesus, and then she goes channeling Sananda, and then from there's beings that I don't even know how to read them yet, how to pronounce their names, with very specific practices for the womb. These are teachings for the woman by our brother from the stars, by our family from the stars, how she called them. So I took this book, and I've been studying, and with everything that I read, I get more information, and I've been really integrating this with my life, and that's what I have been teaching and sharing this wisdom from my grandmother, but also from my own experience.
Right. You know, what's interesting, you said she started at 13. You think she started around the same time her menstruation first happened?
Yeah, absolutely, because she writes about it too. So it's a time when she starts discovering all the when she starts menstruating, all her doors open, per se, because that's how she described it. One of her first experiences that I'm now starting to share, because I don't share a lot of her experiences, because I know they were very sacred. But one of her first experiences was when she was first menstruating, and the connection with the blood, and how it opened up the eye, the third eye of the consciousness of the womb, that she calls. And she had a visual when she saw all the eyes of the universe around her coming from her womb.
Well, no, it's interesting. I mean, actually, maybe you could talk about it as a woman from a multidimensional point of view. When women first start to menstruate, there's an obvious shift on the physical level, but it does seem like if a woman was really in touch, or we lived in a culture where women could be in touch, there'd be an awakening of a higher
consciousness. Yeah. It is what you said. It is an awakening of consciousness. Actually, when when the woman starts bleeding, we get the opportunity to start using that creative energy that we have inside to create physical babies or to create anything. You know, one of the theories that my grandmother has is that everything in this world that is physical has to be born through a womb. And yeah. In society, a lot of the modalities that we have been manipulated to be born through a womb. That's why one of the things that I'm sharing and that I think it's very, very important for these times is for the woman who is still menstruating to take control of what she's birthing every time she bleeds. Because that is just a reality that we are birthing every moment, and with the blood we create a flow of energy towards the earth.
Let me understand that. So every time a woman has menstruation, in a way she's mm-hmm. giving birth to something. And
yeah, that's exactly what is happening. So I always recommend to put an intention of what you are giving birth to. Because you are giving birth to something, and the energy, the creative energy, is working in that way, so society and so, in a way, so humanity can be sustained. So this reality can be sustained. That's why it's important for the woman now to wake up and get to know what is it that they're creating. Because if you're not putting an intention in your womb, the society is, with all the publicity and all the, you know, all the messages that we get during the day. So we have to start taking again control of what we are birthing and realizing that we are in control and taking responsibility for that.
So as a woman's menstruation comes on, you would say form an intention of what they want to have those next couple of days.
Yeah, it's all a process of incubation, because for the 2 weeks before we are incubating that intention. So there is a simple way, just like if you were incubating a physical life, you are also incubating a physical intention that can be manifested physically.
Uh-huh.
Or in any of your subtle bodies, but as long as you're putting an intention and you know what's creating and what are you harnessing for those 2 weeks, you know, before your menstruation starts, as long as you're aware of what's going on there, then you are doing your part, then you are taking responsibility. If we are not, sometimes we just feel like the body is so disconnected and it's a separate machine from us, and that things happen automatically, and they do, but we should integrate the body and the spirit already and work as one.
But so you would, wouldn't you start right after your cycle, right from the beginning, the 4 weeks, would you start to build the energy with certain practices? And
yeah.
Then,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. One of the main teachings of the moon that anyone can access is the cycles of the woman. We have 4 weeks. 1 week, it's the, what we call the new moon or the, when we have our menstruation. That is the time when we gave birth, and we also go through a death process.
Mm. The death is the
letting go and the planting of the seed, but you are giving birth, and it's a death process in a way. You are passing from, you're giving something from one reality to another, new reality. So
right.
You go through a death, rebirth process.
The death is the skin, the shedding of the womb, which is the blood, which is like giving back to the earth the consciousness
yes.
of the body through the blood.
Yes, yes, and that is why and in New York we talked about it, Alan, the importance of rebalancing and again realigning our bodies with the earth. And for the woman, one of the easiest ways to do it is to offer that menstruation blood back to the earth. That way, if you put an intention, anything that you would like, a prayer that you want to say, you know, gratitude, anything that you're putting, that you're birthing with these 2 weeks, then when you menstruate, if you give this intention physically to the earth, she can hear you quicker, per se. You know, she's absorbing all of these prayers with your DNA, with your blood, with everything that you are, so it's easier for her to listen. That's how it was done many, many years ago. And mm-hmm. some tribes still do it, where the woman bleed on the earth. Or nowadays,
right,
we just give the offering.
They bleed, the women bleed right on the earth. They call that a red tent practice? Is that what they would call it then?
Yes. Yes.
So the women yes. would come together for their moon time, and they would all sit together, and they all bleed directly on the earth. No.
Yes, yes. I have done this in a couple of ceremonies myself, and it's a beautiful process because when we are bleeding, we have a lot of gravitational force towards the earth. You know, our blood is magnetic, so we have a pull, a really direct pull. So it's good that we take care of our energy during those times because we can also pull things from people and emotions that they want to get rid of. So sometimes when we think we are PMSing, it's because we are absorbing things from other people that they want to just let it go, and they see an opportunity, maybe not conscious, but unconsciously they can perceive how a woman is bleeding, and they'll get closer to you, and they'll kind of like dump some emotions or things that people need to get rid of. That unconsciously we do all the time, and I see it all the time.
Mm. So if we were living in a real sacred society, when a young girl would come into her menses, it would be a time for acknowledgement and celebration and empowerment. It would be honored by the culture, right?
Yeah, because now the woman would have a part in creating, in co-creating the new reality, a new reality of her life, and the reality that she would be as she would form part of the tribe, because now her power was recognized, that the creativity had mature enough that she was ready to co-create. And women would sit together and menstruate together and co-create together, you know, co-create the intentions that they wanted for the tribe, for their family, and this is the way that it was done, and it works.
So how could men contribute to that? I guess holding the space for women for that to
happen. Well, men, yeah, and holding the space is very important, but men can benefit from this immensely. Once you find a partner that knows how to work with their moon, when I refer to the moon, I mean their menstrual cycle and their womb. So when a woman is in direct touch with her womb, they can help their man process tremendously, because when a woman is bleeding, if you love someone,
bleeding for them, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're bleeding, you can process something. You can ask your partner or your brother or your father, is there something that you want to let go? And you process it, and you genuinely open your womb to process things for some others. And it's okay because, you know, the earth is taking it right there, so it's really not going to stay in your body that long. So you start doing these things consciously, and you can start co-creating consciously.
Right, and that was... No, it was the problem with the male-dominated society is when, you know, the women lost that equality, and because of the men then had to get blood somewhere else, which meant sacrifice, which is sacred by, but they didn't have the blood that the woman had, so it threw the whole thing out of balance.
Right.
Right.
Right, exactly. Right. A lot of theories point to that when the woman stopped offering their blood, you know, since the earth is a living being, she needs a flow of blood. And the way it was done before was through menstruation in a peaceful way. And after women stopped doing that, men started shedding blood, but in a violent way. But the blood had to keep on flowing somehow. So now that's why we are bringing kind of like these new old ways into this new world, to start rebalancing again what is happening with the earth and her flow of the blood.
So
because that is the only way that we bleed peacefully.
So what kind of ceremony would you create for like 13-year-old girls that were coming into the menses? I mean, how would you like to set that up as a cultural sort of institution? What's your vision of that?
Well, here in Miami, we have done a couple with girls, and here how I have done them, we usually take the girl into the ocean, and we do almost a rebirth, almost a baptism, but we give her the chance to do it herself, to go, to take the usually it's done at night under the moon, and we let her walk by herself, and we just make a pretty nice altar so she feels comfortable, so she feels that she's walking, stepping into a sacred time. We speak a lot about the creative energy, and we usually work with corn at this time. We start planting corn for her seeds, for all of her ovules. And then we let her, whenever she's ready, and she goes in the ocean and completely submerges herself and comes back. we say, why do we take it to the ocean? Because the ocean, for what I have walked and what I have lived, it's the womb of the earth, and it has the closest saline solution to the placenta of the woman. So it is the womb. So that's why we take her back to the womb, but she's walking herself now and coming back. So it's pretty beautiful. But we try to really encourage to start doing the offerings and to start taking responsibility for what she's going to create. You know, that is what we make clear, that now she has the opportunity to start co-creating and creating for her own path.
I mean, that's such a big difference from women who call it the curse they have every month. I mean, they're missing the whole point that it's life, you know? It's what's natural.
The whole point, you know, one other thing that is very, very important is that for the woman nowadays, you know, in this society, we are encouraged to be almost like men, you know, almost, you know, we women have a lot of emotions and we go through cycles and we have forgotten to accept that. We think that that's bad, to be so emotional, to be so irrational sometimes, how we call it, though it's not irrational, it's just being a woman. Now, with men or with all humanity, we celebrate New Year's Eve once a year, you know, the majority. And unconsciously, we get a chance to close the door of that year. Now, let's imagine if we didn't have any New Year's, we would be carrying a lot more on our shoulders, right? So the woman, since we have a womb, we carry a little bit more, per se. Now, we have a chance to close that door, the same that we do with New Year's, every single month, every time we menstruate. So consciously, too, we should visualize closing the door of that month, just like if it was New Year's, because we just get an opportunity to let it all go and start fresh again.
That's great.
And
the
that's
way
just an opportunity that we have, and we have forgotten that.
But energetically, the shedding of the blood kind of cleans the whole electromagnetic multidimensional field of the human being, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that blood is very special because it says that it has the DNA in the most uncoded way that it's presented on the blood of the woman.
So as the blood is leaving you, you say a prayer as it lets go and flows out of your body.
Yeah, you know that you are in constant flow since you're getting your moon, so you can just say it at any moment. Just to bring your awareness down to your womb and to connect with what's really going on.
Yeah, but no, I appreciate that. I'm sure a lot of women listening can also feel a reconnection to themselves the way you're talking about it. Of course, it's a little harder for men to relate to it, but I know a lot of women.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, of course.
And, you know, I think men are here to honor the women and honor who they are as givers of life, you know. That's the key to our human existence, is what's in the womb. And there's something magic in the womb. It's not just that, it bleeds, but there's the ability to create life, human life in there. That doesn't exist. Well, it's just not a part of anything. But there's like a energetic force that's probably held in the womb, that's waiting to be activated in the right circumstances. And part of your teaching is to build that energetic force in the womb, isn't it? Talk about that a little.
Yeah, absolutely. In the womb, it lies the mystery of creation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's what we were saying. It lies in mystery and creation, and in the womb there's all the answers that we need. Now, we were speaking about it last week in New York about the importance of intimacy. And going back to the womb, everything in the womb, it's in a way to go back home, you know, to go back from where we came from. And we came from the womb. Now the womb is a portal. It's a capsule, per se.
Right, that's of course. Yes, men are always wanting to get back into the womb, aren't they? Because
when you're in there, you're going back home. That's what you're doing.
And I think that's part of the sexual drive, is to return home. It's not just for pleasure. It's for, you know, there's something ancient and, you know, very securing in that return, you know. So mm-hmm, tell me.
Exactly.
The magic. Yeah, please.
So going back to the womb, so in the womb we're saying that it lies the mystery of creation. And in the womb we can find, first of all the forces that create life in this dimension, upon this earth. But it's also a portal to go to different places. You know, there's not only one door. Usually in a portal there's two doors. It takes you to two different places. So once you access and you heal this physical womb, you can start going to all the other subtle bodies that have also a womb. Your emotional body has a womb. Your dream body has a womb. Your energy body has a womb.
How would you use that? How would you connect to the portals of those other dimensional parts?
Through geometries. That's how I've been working it, through sacred geometry. Once you really connect to the seed of the womb, to the sun of the womb, I say we all have a center sun inside of the womb. Once you connect there, you can feel the geometries. Once you're there, you can feel there's pyramids of light, pyramids that form filaments that are formed by filaments of light in the center of the womb. And my grandmother speaks about it. She didn't speak about it. She drew some diagrams. And then I finally got there by experience, and I saw the same thing that she saw. And in the womb, we can find different pyramids, which are just different forms of consciousness, per se, that we can achieve within there. But we can travel from within there. There are all the possibilities to many worlds, to many degrees, per se. Do you follow me, more or less?
Well, I think I'm trying to get. So you go, you travel, like you do a kind of meditation where you travel into your womb, and then from that point, you're able to access other parts. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Once the person finds, you know, your heart of the womb and the true self that lies in the womb, the essence, per se, of that, the essence of the creation that lies in the womb, Once you're there, we do a special meditation, but this meditation is not needed once you find this, because you will immediately start traveling through pyramids of light. Many people have had this experience that have worked with me, and these pyramids of light just take you to different levels of your own awareness, of your own womb, in different dimensions, per se, or in different levels of your own self.
Mm. So you find the center point in your own womb and you focus on that, and then you start to travel to other places. It's sort of like finding point zero, that all the point zeros connect to each other, you know?
That is exactly what it is. One of the first experiences that I had with my womb, I had an experience with the tree of life connecting from both of my ovaries. And it started from there, but that's when I started to really find my center, my essence. And once I got there, I started understanding the geometries that we can form, and new geometries that can emerge from the womb that we haven't even seen.
Wow.
New ways of moving energy from there, new ways of co-creating from there, new ways of traveling to different levels of awareness of your own self, of your own process of evolution.
But how would men work with that? Can men work with that just with using a woman's womb, or they can have develop something with themselves?
They can develop their own womb. In many traditions, they have men going into a cave or a mountain or a canyon and taking care of a sacred space. But nowadays, since we have the veils are thinner, I feel like we can just do it by visualization and really put in the intention of you creating, bringing your awareness down. It's about three fingers down from your belly bottom.
Mm-hmm.
That's a space that we call the hara, in the center of your body. And you create your own space. So you visualize it how you visualize your own womb space to be like. But as in developing a relationship with anyone or anything, you have to cultivate this relationship. So you have to come down here, you know, make sure that you spend time here, get to know and make to know, you know, get to form your own womb space so you can come here and have the experience.
But wouldn't it be better for men to hook with a partner, a woman, and then focus their energies on the woman's womb, and that way they could actually have a sacred conception together? Is that how it works with couples?
Of course, of course. That would be ideal. But there's also a possibility that men could do it by themselves, you know, before sharing that with a woman, you know, so they can also understand their own space. You know, and how they would create the womb space in within should reflect the woman that they are with. Because the woman that they are with should be able to hold that space for them. To hold the womb space for a man to be creative and to get in touch with their female side, feeling secure enough to express this side of themselves with the person that they love. That's why we women, we create womb space for a lot of things.
Mm. So you're talking about a much deeper relationship than probably a lot of people have. More sacred and a more loving space than probably most people are used to understanding. It takes us out of the normal way of thinking about relationships and the understanding that a real connection with partners is about this trusting in this sort of multi-dimensional aspect of each other.
You know? Right.
I mean, that's what I like about your work. It's you're taking the physical elements, but you're also raising it to these other levels of awareness. And I think that's unique because most people tend to just be, you know, metaphysical or out there, but they don't ground it into the body. And that's what's so really special about your work. It's in the body.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that I am focused on is to bring or to share in a different way the old teachings of our ancestors or of my ancestors and the people that I know. The old ways are important and they should be kept the same. But for us who are living in society, we need to integrate all this into a way that we can relate to day by day. Now, one of the important things that we were talking is that here on Earth we have many possibilities. It is a living library, and we don't only have the possibilities to establish relationships with humans. We are here to experience all possibilities of establishing real relationships with all the other beings that coexist with us.
Yes, that's a whole new that is the shamanic way, and that is... that's really like a whole nother level of new realities for people to understand that we can actually have relationships with nature, with the moon, with a tree, with, you know, I think even a street corner, you know? It's opening up new parts of ourselves so we understand, I think, what relationship is. Maybe you can talk about that, how people can have relationships with non-humans.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all about acknowledging the path and the choices of the other being. If we are going to establish a relationship with a tree, it's not just to go one time. You have to go there and sit down and listen, just like if you would with a human, because it's good that we learn how to relate with each other, you know, with humans, because now we can apply that into other levels of consciousness. For example, the trees, the plants, the flowers, the animals, the sun, the stars. Once we learn how to relate, and there's not a way to learn, we just have to open our heart and do it from what we know, from our instinct. And once we establish that relationship and the being answers us back, we can access their own levels of awareness in many other different dimensions. Per se, a tree here on Earth might be reflected from our own perception as, you know, as a tree, and it has the leaves and the trunk and this and this. But the tree has also a process of evolution. evolution in this lifetime, and we can access different types of these beings' evolution and different types of knowledge, different types of wisdom. I mean, a tree, only from a tree here from this earth we can learn so much. They have seen so much. They surrender to so much.
No, I think what you're saying is very important, because it really works with opening up the human mind to other ways of hearing and understanding. And, you know, you can develop a relationship with a tree. And like you're saying, you do have to, it has to be a relationship. So you're going back to that tree and you're mm-hmm. sitting with it. But then you have to trust your feelings. This is what many people don't do in our culture, in Western culture, trust the feelings. Talk about that, because that's the key, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That we're,
Well, that is one of the things that even sometimes we just do sacred ceremonies to empower the people that are around us to believe in that magic, in that unknown, in that voice that is giving you a confirmation that, yeah, that you are hearing messages, that you are downloading new information, that you are accessing new realities. You have to trust in that voice. You know, nowadays we are all speaking of all of our experiences. This person had this dream, this person had this vision, I accessed this information. But we should be able to integrate it as part of us, of a normal life, because we are there already. We are there. We are all able to do this. It's not only certain people. So the more normal we see it as part of just everyday life, the quicker you'll catch up with everyone else, per se. So with these relations, it's just like relating with a human, just relating in a different way. Like you said, we learn how to hear different. We're not going to hear with our ears physically. We hear inside of our heads, inside of our hearts, inside of our wombs. For example, when we speak, then we also learn how to speak with them. They hear our frequencies, they hear our energy, they pick up on our emotions. For example, when we are with a plant in our house, we cannot pretend we are feeling something else. We cannot go and pretend that you are happy to a plant when you are upset, like if you would with a person. These are beings that just allow you to be yourself. So why not take advantage of that and form deeper relationships that can open up our wisdom from this earth, because we are here to learn how to relate.
It's amazing.
So why not take it further?
Yes, that we have a living library right in front of us, and that human beings have the facility to access knowledge from the earth. We've just forgotten how, but you know, you're reminding us. And for me, it's like the feeling I told you about, like my connection to the moon in particular. It's mm-hmm. like I have a feeling, like I would with a person, of that particular relationship, me and the moon. And I feel that same thing every time I connect with the moon. But it's not like it's static. It's also changing, like a relationship with a person. People's relationships are always unfolding and shifting and changing. And you know, they each have a particular flavor. You know, your mm-hmm. relationship mm-hmm. with the person has its own unique flavor. And I think we have to recognize the feeling. It's a feeling sense that we have with these non-humans. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's that exactly, because you know, going back to what we think were the first people on Earth. You know, how did we learn how to drink water? How did we learn to make a fire? How did we learn to fly? How did we learn how to swim? From watching the Earth, from watching what's around us. Mm. I feel like nature is more than individual consciousness. I just feel like it's the language of Mother Earth. If we learn how to read it, it is always a language. If a bird passes in front of you, it's not just a bird. Like you have to see beyond what's here, because we are not just three-dimensional beings. We are four-dimensional beings, and you said it last week.
It's great. No, I mean, we have to understand that there's so much more to the human being, and Yeah, that there's a special, that human beings are, we have to break out of the box of who we've been conditioned to think that we are, and we have to pay attention to the world. Mm-hmm. It connects us back to the earth, the great, she is the great mother, the earth, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, absolutely. The other thing that I do want, that, you know, you talked about before, there's something that's so unique inside the womb of a woman because it sparks human life. It's sort of like the womb is the interdimensional portal that human beings come into this planet to, and there's something in there. You've talked in the workshops that it's not empty. Wombs are not empty. They're full of electromagnetic potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're full of the essence of all that is. That is what they're full of. And one of the beliefs that we have to change during these times is for the woman to stop feeling like the womb is empty. We walk around feeling like we have nothing in our womb unless we have a baby in it. And knowing that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, we know that we carry spirit there. We know that we carry the God essence, or however we want to call it.
The divine.
The mystery of all creation. Now, once we shift that, and it's very simple, that one person can do it in less than 2 seconds, to shift the focus on walking around with an empty womb or walking around with a womb that carries something, and just to walk around having the feeling and having the knowing that you are carrying that very special essence within you. Because once you are aware of it, you'll always have part of your awareness active, per se, in your womb.
So how do you shift that? What's the 2 second exercise?
You believe it. That's it. You feel it.
Know it.
Yeah, like it's something. You don't need a meditation. You don't need anything. It's just as if you know that the color is blue. You see it and you feel it. Or if you take a cup and you feel it, same in your womb. Just know that it's there. You had just forgotten it because it's always been there.
But are there also some sacred geometry? You talked about sacred geometry. You said there are sacred geometries that are in the womb that...
Yes. My grandmother started working with some similar forms of geometry to the icosahedron and the tetrahedron, which is the fire element and the water element that are in the womb. And she interlocked them and estelate them, which is when they start all pointing up, and then conjoin all of the different points, forming a beautiful mandala. But the whole point of this is the integration of the fire and the water and the alchemy that happens within the womb when the process of conception is taking place, because alchemy has to happen. So in a way, she started decoding ways for the woman to start using this alchemy, not only to create life, but in the ways that the womb is being used consciously or unconsciously by society to create other things. But so there's many ways to work with these geometries, using the icosahedron and the tetrahedron, interlocking them in different ways, and birthing new geometries from the integration of them both.
So you bring those geometric forms into your womb and, as a meditation, and focus us there to kind of create an intensity in the womb. Would you do that?
Yes, exactly. The way that we usually do it, I make sure that everybody gets very familiar with the shapes. We start working with the numerology of the shapes, with a real physical shape that we build. So you more or less have the sense of how it moves and how it forms. Then we visualize it in our womb, interlocated, and from there we give birth to a new shape. Each person would have their own. Sometimes they're similar, but we get to draw them too. So you can have these alchemical tool, per se, to start procreating more actively for the people that are interested in working with sacred geometry.
Mm. You know, also Carlos Castaneda, in one of the books, because I've read them all, I love them, we've talked about that. Mm-hmm. He says the womb is a second brain, you know.
Right.
And men don't have that. Men have to develop their intellect. They don't have the facilities that women have to use the womb to access knowledge.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I'm a firm believer of, and I've experienced, is that our womb is the womb, and then when the ovaries come out, the ovaries are our sets of antennas, I call them, like the insects that have antennas to perceive different things. We have that, and those are our ovaries. And when the three of them are working in sync, and when we are in good relation with our womb, we develop that sense of intuition, how we call it nowadays. But that sense comes from there. It's the first voice that tells you yes or no. It's the extrasensorial feeling that we women come with already, just because we have a physical womb.
And there's something also, because of that intelligence there, it, you know, the fact that it can create life, it means that it sort of travels back in time to the very beginning of creation, you know? It's like it's a time travel portal back to the beginning of all things.
Yes, it's a time travel capsule, absolutely.
With the knowledge of all things, I think that's what I'm realizing. There's, because it, in a way, creates that, takes the seed and sparks it with the egg to create this alchemy of divine life, of life, and it must have its origins in the beginning of the universe somehow, you know, where that spark first began to create matter out of nothing, you know, out of potential.
It goes back to the process of all creation, I feel. It goes back to the process and to a very beginning of anything that is now. We can say that it goes back through a process. My grandmother actually wrote almost a poem about how the process of creating not only life, but the process of the womb takes it back to a big bang.
Yeah.
And starts from there, yeah.
I get that from what you're saying, and maybe I'm connecting with your grandmother.
Uh-huh.
I think I did connect. She's a lovely person. Very, a little stubborn, but very nice. You know?
Yes.
But no, she's great. I mean, what made her different? You know, she grew up in Colombia a while ago when it was very, probably very Catholic, and women really weren't allowed to explore themselves the way your grandmother did. Why was she, how'd she have that, that ability to do that? What did she have?
Well, she married when she was very young, and yeah, she had five kids. But in Colombia at that time, for the woman, it was more, for every woman was more like a stay-at-home mom. But she was one of the first women that finished university there, and she became a teacher, and she had her own job. She was very independent for those times in Colombia. Mm. She even did yoga in the last years of her life. But she was always writing. She was always very connected to spirit. Yes, she was Catholic, but she went to church every Sunday. And she assimilated a lot of things, in the church and in those types of ceremonies and rituals. But she also had her own way and her own path of spirituality, always speaking to us about certain things. And we always knew that she had a special connection with the womb, because she spoke a lot to us when we first got our menstruations. And she would always check up on us on that, making sure that we were offering, making sure that the balance was being kept in the female side of our family to each one of our granddaughters. She was very on top of all of our moons, per se. So we knew that she always had the connection. Now, that would be her mother-in-law, so that would be my great-grandmother. she knew a lot about the earth, about original teachings of the earth. She was from an indigenous culture in Sogamoso, Colombia. And so she trained my grandmother a lot. They spent a lot of time together, a lot of nights working, reading together, doing different types of ceremonies together, and they spent a lot of time together. So my mom tells me that a lot of it rubbed off from my great-grandmother.
I see. So it's beautiful that you are the inheritor of this, in a way, ancient tradition, because if she was native back then, your great-grandmother, then she brought that wisdom from her ancestors to her. So, and that,
yeah.
Now you're giving this to the world, this teaching. And it is very original. I mean, I haven't seen it anywhere else, this particular form of understanding what's going on. You know, I haven't witnessed it anywhere. So tell me how far back it goes.
Well, it goes, I mean, I feel like this is not something new. This is just pure knowledge from the earth itself. You know, I feel like we are a little bit far away from where we really learn from the natural ways of learning, from spending time with nature, from actually opening our mind's eye to receive direct information from the source, from life itself, not from a computer, or not from a book, or not from somebody else's experience, but from life itself. I am a firm believer that the most true knowledge and true wisdom that we can learn has to come from a non-human.
A non-human, because humans are so confused and in the way.
Because we have so many filters and we have so many programs that by the time that the information comes out, sometimes it's not in the original way intended, per se.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're just starting out in a way on your path of teaching. I'm very excited that you came to New York, and you'll be back in New York and probably mm-hmm. lots of places around the country for people listening. That's Daughters of Gaia Ma. But where do you feel your work is going? I mean, what's the future? I mean, because there's so much here that you're tapped into that and will bring people. Can you tell me, like, direction you see it going?
Yeah. Well, first of all, my main purpose of this work is to continue the work that my grandmother wanted to do, because she wanted to start a circle of women where she could share all this secret knowledge, per se. And back in the days, it was impossible for her to do it with everything, and the time, people weren't ready for this type of information back then. So I have taken this information, and I'm integrating it with my own experience and my own work and my own studies. And so far we are here in Miami. My sister is working in Colombia also with circles of women. But our intention is just to be able to share this with both men and female, to integrate these new type of teaching. I say that it's like the new teachings of the earth. They are all ways of living, integrating them in the times that we are now, and for a new future to come. So right now we're in Miami, and this year we're going to start traveling through the states, giving teachings and doing different ceremonies. But so far this next year we're going to be in the States, and we are planning on going to Colombia and South America for quite a little bit. But the direction of the work, for me, it's simple. I am just really speaking from my heart and from what I know, and I am continuing this work for my grandmother, and because I really believe that women now have to start waking up and taking responsibility for what goes on in their womb and for what is created in there. And because of what I have experienced and the levels of awareness that I have reached from within my womb, I want to share this with everyone, because one of the things that I do have clear is that everyone can access this information now. Everyone can access all these levels of awareness. Everyone can do it now. It's here for everyone. For everyone, not for anyone in particular.
What will it do for women then? Once women, particularly women, access that, then how will their lives change? How will it be? How will they be different people because of that?
Well, one of the main changes that I feel that it's an ongoing process, but we are on our way. It's to change back the ways how women can be perceived per se and pushed to be in society. You know, we don't need to be lawyers or doctors or this or that. We already are what we are. We already are women. Now, doesn't mean that we don't want to evolve and that we don't want to learn new things, but it can teach us how to like partake in different ways as women in society.
I see. So this is, yeah, no, I think that's why it's so important, your work, because it's a doorway for a new equality. And I think when women then feel empowered, it becomes a better relationship between men and women, and men can trust women again in the way, and women can trust men because they're trusting them. And I think we create a different relationship among humans that is based on the sacred aspect of life, and this sort of also this, you see, it's so grounded in the body, but then you take in these other multidimensional levels of existence as well. So we wake up to other parts of ourselves. I think I'm
exactly because we are living in we are having a multidimensional experience.
But we
and
don't
it doesn't
know
mean that because we are here, we cannot access the other ones. So yeah.
But most people, we don't know we're having the multidimensional experience until we wake up these other ways of feeling.
Right.
That's the key,
right.
I think. So these other ways of connection, this what I call shamanic ways, or the intuitive or the feeling sense ways, gives us more access to what we are as human beings.
Exactly. And to all the potential that we have as human beings. It helps us accelerate the process of evolution, of the evolution of our soul, of that. And it helps us access all the potential of our brain, all the potential of our soul within this capsule that we are right now, within this body.
Right. No, I'm really glad you said that, because I think we don't even know what the potentials are. We just know we haven't activated them, because that will lead to new ways of being, things we have yet to think about, inventions, creativity, expression, feeling that.
New ways of expression, yeah.
But yeah, and this wake us up to so much more of who we are, of our own feelings. You know, we have yet to grow up as a civilization, as a race of beings.
Right, of course. And one of the also the key points of working with the womb is that once we find that center, once we find that zero point within the womb, we can reposition our soul within this body. That's something that I find very, very important. Now, how do we do that? By reconciliating the relation that we have with the earth and with our own body. As soon as we do that, the soul and the body start relating in a different way, in a new way. And the soul repositions itself better, in a more comfortable position, let's put it like that, within the body, when that relationship is healed.
Wait, let me see if I understand that. So we find
okay.
You find the center point in the center of the womb, which is a sort of a center of our own creation,
and it's a center point between spirit and matter.
Uh huh. And that connects to our soul, and connecting to our soul, we actually. Do we visualize a different position in our bodies, or what? How do we reposition the soul in the physical body?
Well, once we access that zero point and we, you know, we can have pretty much in front of us how, you know, the understanding of how spirit moves between spirit and matter, per se. Once we access that point, we can travel, like I said, through the geometries and through the pyramids of light. And when we come back, okay, when we come back from those different aspects that we reach within ourselves, the soul repositions. The soul comes and sits down, let's put it in a different way. Once we have seen the connection of spirit and matter, of body and soul, once we have accessed that relation per se.
Oh, so in a way,
like
we're
the origin,
rebirth.
The origin of the relation between spirit and matter, how both integrate, which is inside of the womb. That's when the sacred marriage happens between the spirit and the body.
Oh, so we're reborn out of our own wombs that give a new kind of connection to our soul as incarnational energy in the physical body.
Exactly, and we can do that without having to go through the whole reincarnation process again. Now we have access to that here many times.
Oh, that's beautiful. That really is important. That's great. So once we find the center point, we go into the center point.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And from there, we're reborn.
Yes, which is the same as I was saying, the repositioning of the soul is the same, yes.
Oh, well, we need to do more shows about this, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, this was very insightful and beautiful, and I appreciate, because you're a pioneer, you really are. I'm not just saying this because I know you, but I think it's very original work, and people need to hear it, because it feels like truth when you say it. It's like, oh yeah, that's right, of course, that's right. So I'm very excited about, you know, you putting this out to the world and waking people up, especially as you evolve in your journey. It's you know, there's so much more I feel you will access and change and transform and develop as a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, and everything I'm sharing, it's really from my own experience, because I feel like that's the only way to, you know, to be real in what I'm doing and in my own evolution process.
No, that's why it is truth, because that's why it sounds like truth, because it is only from your experience. So I appreciate you opening up and sharing your, you know, wisdom and your, in a way, your intimacy with this audience here.
Mm-hmm.
So
thank you very much for opening the door and letting me speak about these things.
No, for some reason it really feeds me. It excites me. It's important, and you know, I think we're just starting to develop a new way of understanding these things. It is a new reality as it relates to this other way of being embodied in our bodies, and understanding the energies that our bodies are here to offer.
Yeah.
Right? But our bodies are nature. Our bodies are of the earth, and we have to access that.
Exactly. Access the living libraries on the earth and within our bodies.
Yeah, well, thank you. I think we're running over a little bit, but I'm really happy we had this dialogue. So.
Okay, thank you very much, and many blessings. Metta kiase.
And this is Juanita Calderon, and she's the founder of Daughters of Gaia Ma. That's your website, right? Daughters of Gaia Ma.
Or on Facebook as well.
On Facebook, and she will be traveling throughout the country doing some workshops. I'm going to be promoting her in New York. She'll be at the New Life Expos coming up. You should do your own lecture at the one coming up in Florida, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be doing that for sure.
Yes. Thank you, Juanita. Really, really thank you, because I think it's amazing, and it's so simple in some ways, and it's just waiting now. This time has now come to access this, because...
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Alan, for having me and for opening up these new realities.
Thanks. That's...
Okay.
I'll talk to you soon. I'll call you.
Okay, thank you. I love you. Bye.
Thank you, Wendy. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. And if you want to reach me, you can email me at newrealities@earthlings.net or check my website, newrealities.com. This interview will be posted there on newrealities.com and also on bbsradio.com. Thanks for listening. This is 25.